You're listening to a 1FM podcast. Hey everyone, it's that time of week again. I've got Steve on the line. Whatever happened to and whatever happened to Steve? You there, Steve?
Well, I'm still here and hopefully for a while yet. Still in lockdown, but we're learning to live with it again and we'll see how we go. It could be another couple of months before we're out of this, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and we're talking on a Wednesday. We pre-recorded on a Wednesday, and we're about to come out of lockdown. So hopefully, by the time the audience hear this on Monday night, we're still out of lockdown in Shepparton, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, well, good on you. Enjoy your freedom. I hope it lasts for you.
Yeah, so do I. But hopefully you'll be out of lockdown soon, but we just don't know. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who have you got for us this week, Steve?
Well, I had to make an executive decision. I had a choice of about four, and I've decided I'll go with this particular group because I've got to say I loved them, and the love affair was probably fairly short-lived, but they had a fairly big impact on me at the time. And the Australian group is called The Loved Ones, of which a lot of people in my age group will be very familiar with. Now, The Loved Ones, and the origin of the name comes from the band members were actually looking through some book titles to try and actually think of a name for the group, and they came across this book by a woman called Evelyn Waugh, which was called The Loved Ones, so they decided they would go with that title. Now, this group was formed in 1965, consisted of, and I'll give you the names of these people because they do get mentioned later on, Gavin Anderson was on drums, Ian Klein, he was on the organ and piano, Rob Lovett was on guitar, Kim Lynch was on bass guitar, and Jerry Humphries, the very charismatic lead singer, he was doing the vocals and played a bit of harmonica. Jerry Humphries, I think, was born overseas, so he in London, so he came out to Australia back in those early days of the 10-pound Toms, as we called them back then.
Yeah, my dad was one of them, so, yeah.
Yeah, he would be, and I'm sure your dad will be familiar with this group, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think he is.
The latter, the Klein, Lynch and Humphries were all former members of the trad jazz group, the Red Onion Jazz Band, who were very popular, and these three guys split from them because they wanted to convert to rhythm and blues rather than play jazz. And Lovett, one of the other members, he came from a group called the Wild Cherries, who were a rock band around at that time. Now, the band, they soon attracted a large following on the local club and dance scene, mainly due to the striking mod stage attire that they wore, which we weren't privy to unless you saw them live, because everything was in black and white. And the charismatic stage presence and the unique baritone voice of Humphries, who over a long period of time was acknowledged as one of Australia's finest pop rock vocalists. They were also one of the, interestingly enough, they were also one of the first bands to use the electric piano as part of their stage setup, and they had a very distinctive keyboard bass sound. Early in 66, they signed to the In Records label, which is a subsidiary of WNG. Now, Rob Lovett, one of the members of the band, in an interview later on, said that the group didn't actually have a producer. Studios at WNG didn't actually have a producer. They just had an engineer who just set everything up with the mics and all that and said everything okay, and we just go ahead and some other fellow would just come in and say, everything all right, guys? And that was basically how they did things back in those days. And so they didn't really actually have a producer for the song. And they got their big break after doing an audition for Commotion, which was a five-night-a-week pop show back in the 60s. And that was the catalyst for their first song, The Loved One, becoming a success, because it did actually, when it actually came out, it was just one of those songs that I call a slow burn. It took a long time to take off. But when it did, it did actually reach top 10 in Australia in May of 1966. And the hand clapping, which most people would be familiar with, was thought up by Klein to give the song a greater impact. And it turned out to be a masterstroke, and it certainly added greatly to the song's popularity. In July 66, Everlovin' Man followed, And those two songs were actually in the top 10 at the same time, because Everloving Man took off a heck of a lot quicker than The Love One. And both songs were in the top, well, the top 10. I don't know if they were both in the top 10, but they were certainly in the top 12 songs at the time, at the same time. And Everloving Man was in the charts for 19 weeks. I've made a note here that I found it quite difficult to reach Humphrey's high notes on that particular song back then, and I still can't do it now. So it's a very unique sound. And then they did a cover of Fats Domino's Blueberry Hill, and it didn't quite make the top 10, reached about number 11 on the charts. After this, Klein, one of the band members, left after a dispute with the group, and he moved to Sydney, was replaced by a fellow by the name of Trevor. And I did not spell it the orthodox way, I might add, T-R-E-V-A, Trevor Richards. And then the fourth song, Sad Dark Eyes, in February 1967, was also quite successful. It reached number 20. I think you have to listen to that song and listen to the end of the song, the note that Humphreys reaches to when he says the last word, time. Probably goes for about 15, 20 seconds. It's quite unique. It's a fascinating song. And they also did a song called A Love Like Ours, which I'm not overly au fait with, but it reached top 20 also. Now, Josh, your dad might have seen this particular concert on the 23rd of October 1967. They performed the first three songs at Festival Hall as a support act to Eric Burdon and the Animals, and Dave D. Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch. I certainly wasn't there, but your dad might have been.
No, I don't think he was. He would have told me if he was at that one. He likes, he likes the Animals and Dave D., Beaky, Mitch and Titch, but he never mentioned seeing them, so he must have missed that one.
Oh, okay. So they sort of made it fairly big to be able to do that. They released another song called Love Song in August 67, but it didn't chart. And then they released their debut album, which was called The Loved One's Magic Box, in October of that year. This is considered a classic recording, and there's never been out of print, so it's still available now from what I understand. And I think the unique part of this particular album, if I did read it correctly, was that every song title has the word love in it.
I'll have to check if my dad's got it in his record collection. He probably does.
I would say so. And most of the songs, in fact, all of the songs that Humphreys and Klein wrote had the word love in the title, which is quite unique. Now, just when you think that everything's going well and red hot, they come back from a two-week tour of Perth, which went disastrously because there was a lack of promotion and there were none of their records were available in the shops. And when they returned to Melbourne, broke and dispirited, it turned out that was the end of the group.
That's sad.
I know I fast forward here a fair bit for about 20 years or so to 1987, when they did do a reformed, and they did a live tour in September, and this was prompted in part by INXS doing a cover of The Loved Ones. I must say that my preference is clearly for the original, but then again, that's probably more a generational viewpoint rather than an actual listening to the song viewpoint. And then they followed this with their second album, which was going to be live on Blueberry Hill, and this was on Mushroom Records. But that was basically the last time that they were heard of. And prior to this, Humphreys had stayed on the pop scene for a while and managed a group called The Ballantines, and that included Bon Scott and Vince Lovegrove. He then formed a group called Jerry and the Joy Band in 1971, and that included at various times members of Daddy Cool and the Aztecs.
Oh, wow.
He also hosted the inaugural Sunbury Pop Festival in 1972. Quite a versatile fellow was our Jerry.
Yeah.
He, in 1977, returned to London in an unsuccessful... He was actually born in London. He returned to London in 77 in an unsuccessful attempt to save his marriage. And this is rather a bit of a sad story. He became a psychiatric nurse and lived in a less than salubrious area of London, from what I can gather. Said that he missed greatly the pop music scene, although he did leave to try and save his marriage. And he did spend a bit of time singing in places to expats in Earl's Court to make a few extra bucks. And also, he didn't own any of his records, which he made, and completely away from the scene. I reckon it was a great loss. This is my personal opinion, a great loss that they never made it overseas. I reckon they could have done a really big number over there. But unfortunately, because we were so isolated back then, other countries never got to hear them. He did pass away in 2005 of a heart attack. He was only 63, so that's a very sad ending.
So he never came back to Australia, or never?
I think he only came back to Australia for that one particular live tour that they did in 1987, I think. But that was the only time that he came back. He went in back in 77. The live tour was in 87, so he came back for that. And then he went back to England, and that's where he stayed. Lovett formed a vocal trio called the Virgil Brothers. I don't know if you're familiar with them, in 1968. And they were managed by his wife, who was a journalist, Lily Brett, and included Peter Doyle and Malcolm McGee. I probably will be doing Peter Doyle, who was a local talent here in Australia, at a later stage whatever happened to series. They released a few singles and they split in 1970. And Peter Doyle also was a part of the New Seekers, recorded some of Lovett's music back in the early 70s. Anderson, the drummer, he performed a PR company which became a very large communications business with networks throughout the world. Lynch turned to painting after leaving the band. And they featured in, mentioned this with a couple of our other Australian artists, they featured in The Long Way to the Top in episode 2. And in 2010, they were inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. So, and that was on the basis of only, 3 or 4 songs, but it showed how popular they were, and so short-lived. It was a real shame, I think.
Yeah, well, the Love one still gets played quite a lot on the radio, and I think we're about to play it again, aren't we?
We certainly are. That's my number one choice. I don't know how you would have guessed that, Josh.
Yeah.
That's clearly my number one pick, and I'll speak to you perhaps after the song, perhaps with my other choices.
Yeah, and here's the Love one. Love Ones with the Loved One. And yeah, what a great song it is. And do you want to hear as well Dark Eyes? Because you mentioned the note that he sang.
Yeah, sad Dark Eyes. These are my other choices, which are the ones that all people wouldn't be less familiar with. Sad Dark Eyes, Ever Loving Man, and Blueberry Hill.
Okay, we can do that. We'll probably have to go to a quick sponsors break, but we'll do it after the sponsors break. But thanks, Steve. Another great choice this week.
Yeah, well, I've just put down here, and this is probably a bit ditto repeater with some of the things that I do say, but I just put here that the Loved Ones, unique, short-lived, but with a lasting legacy.
Yeah, they certainly were. It's a shame they never got to, achieve greater heights.
Yeah, that's right. And the other interesting thing, is that the Red Onion Jazz Band, which was very, very popular back then, did continue in another form for the next 20 or so years. They were very, very popular around the jazz circuit in Melbourne. I know that for sure. But Josh, they were a terrific group, and for me, I've always enjoyed them. I've got all my four of those songs on Spotify, and enjoy listening to them. I'd love them listening to them now as I did back then.
Yep, and we'll listen to some more after the break. But thanks, Steve. Great to hear from you again. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, Josh, and to all the listeners, good luck. I hope the local listeners, you're out of lockdown and enjoy it, and I hope it stays that way for you. All the best to you, and we'll catch up again.
Take care, Steve, and all the best.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.